Good morning. My name is Marissa, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Homex First Quarter 2011 Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Ms. Fueyo. You may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to the Homex First Quarter 2011 Earnings Call. Before we start, I would like to remind you that certain statements made during the course of this conference call about future events and financial results constitute forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the Safe Harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties. Discussion of factors that may affect future results are contained in our filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We undertake no obligation to correct or update any forward-looking statement provided as a result of new information, future events, or even changes in our expectations. On the call with me today are Gerardo de Nicolás, Chief Executive Officer, and Carlos Moctezuma, our Chief Financial Officer. I will now turn the call over to Gerardo, who will share some thoughts with you about Homex strategies and results during the first months of 2011. Following Gerardo's discussion, Carlos will carry you through our first quarter financial statements in detail. I will now turn the call over to Gerardo.
Thank you, Vania. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on today's call. As we are presenting our first quarter results for the year, I would like to share with you some perspective on performance, our view for the remainder of the year, and the strategies that we will be executing to achieve our goals for 2011. As you know, we have published guidance for the year of revenue growth in the 13 to 16% range, an EBITDA margin of 21 to 22%, and neutral to positive free cash flow generation. Homex operations today break down into four business divisions, all of which are expected to achieve positive growth performance during 2011. Mexico, of course, will continue to be our main focus and the center of our energies. As witnessed in the first quarter, revenues from Mexico contributed 98% of total revenues, mainly driven by the 84.4% contribution from the affordable entry-level market, where we have continued to gain market share in the 32 cities where we have operations. Importantly, our 16.4% revenue growth in this segment demonstrates that our focus to serve the most profitable segments within the market is the right strategy. We have clearly benefited from the continued strong housing demand as well as from an optimistic mortgage financing market. This has mainly been driven by Infonavit, which for 2011 anticipates that 76% of its total mortgage financing goal will be concentrated on homes affordable for families with 4 to 11 times the minimum wage, a niche where we have concentrated our product offering. Moreover, 74% of Infonavit mortgages will be placed in markets where we have a presence today. More recently, we have noticed a growing emphasis by the Mexican federal government on vertical housing construction with environmentally friendly attributes. This is nothing new and does not present an obstacle for Homex, as we have actively embraced this initiative since 2008. Today, we are well positioned to respond to the government's preferences as well as other shifts in market demand. Many of you are familiar with our Homex community concept, which already integrates the initiatives promoted by the government with respect to urban planning, increased densities, promotion of social and economic development, and of course, green attributes. It's important to note here that we have effectively adapted our aluminum mold construction technology, which we have been using since 2007 on detached homes, to the construction of vertical buildings of 3 to 4 levels. Thus, we do not require any additional investment or material shift in our strategy to be competitive in conforming to government requirements. This speaks to the spirit embraced in Homex to always be ahead of the curve with a superior flexible product offering and operational efficiency. During 2010, vertical construction grew from 5 to 30% of our mix. As of today, some 76% of the cities where we operate already have a mix of vertical and detached homes. We intend to cap vertical prototype mix at 40% from 30% as of today, since it does have an inherent elongating effect on our construction and collection cycle. And most importantly, as this product mix has been well accepted by our prospective customers. As we shared with you earlier, we have presented our 2010 results. One of the bottlenecks we have faced in our effort to reduce our construction in process inventory has been associated with a significant investment in infrastructure and urbanization required in advance of the building process in order to achieve our targeted revenue growth. During the quarter, we continue to follow this strategy, and this will be the case for the first half of the year, which is always more capital intensive as we open the way for the building construction for the remainder of the year. In order to streamline the process, we continue to work closely with and oversee our subcontractors in charge of development, urbanization, and infrastructure projects. We feel comfortable that we have an effective handle on this process, and achievements continue to be positive, thus helping us reduce our overall working capital cycle, capital requirements, and indebtedness level. At the same time, we will continue to follow a land replacement strategy, ultimately reducing our land inventory. As we are confident that prices and land suitable for our product offering will continue to be stable and available for the foreseeable future. Now turning to Brazil, during the last conference call, I shared with you our positive view for our long-term growth opportunities in Brazil. At the same time, our entry into this market has been conservative, since despite the expected replicability of our business model, there is a learning curve in all new markets. I spoke about the delays that we have faced with some municipal changes that ultimately have delayed the licensing and permitting process, thus impacting the timely construction and delivery of homes. We anticipated much of this and eventually solved these problems, and we were able to advance our construction. During the first quarter, revenues from Brazil accounted for 1% of total revenues, still below our internal forecast, yet we still expect Brazil to contribute 6 to 8% of our construction revenues for the full year. We are confident that today we are achieving the required speed and pipeline in sales and homes under construction to deliver on our guidance for our three ongoing projects in Brazil. Homex Infrastructure Division did not contribute to revenues during the first quarter, as the signed contracts for the year started late in the first quarter. We expect to start recognizing revenues from this division in the second quarter. As a reminder, we expect our Infrastructure Division to contribute approximately 4% of our total revenues for the full year. As an update on Homex Tourism Division activities, the division has been hard at work with prospective buyers in both U.S. and Canada. And we have had encouraging reception for all three of our properties. We have placed particular emphasis on increasing the awareness of our Loreto location as a premier new second home and vacation market, particularly as we participate in international conferences and as we leverage the network of foreign families, community of approximately 800 homes that already live in Loreto, who undoubtedly are interested in Homex success. We continue to be confident that this division has a promising future, regardless of the slow start brought about mainly by the earlier economic downturn. I will now turn the call over to Carlos, who will discuss our financial results in detail. Then I will return with some final words.
Thank you, Geraldo. Thank you all for joining us this morning. Before commenting on our first quarter 2011 results, I want to remind you that pursuant the application of Mexican Financial Reporting Standard B6, we are required to capitalize comprehensive financing costs, which includes interest expense as well as exchange loss or gain, in relation to the translation of our U.S. dollar-denominated debt into Mexican pesos and monetary position. For your convenience, I will discuss our gross profit and operating income adjusted for the capitalization of comprehensive financing cost. During the quarter, we achieved solid revenue growth of 14.1%, in line with our annual guidance of 13 to 16%, mainly driven by our leadership in the affordable entry-level segment. In the first quarter of 2011, we effectively titled 9,961 units, where the affordable entry level in Mexico accounted for 93.3% compared to 94.5% in the year-ago period, evidencing our continued concentration in a market with the most favorable dynamics. Our revenue growth was mainly driven by a higher average price for all title homes during the first quarter of 2011 at 406,000 pesos, an increase of 12.9% when compared to the first quarter of 2010. The average price increase was mainly driven by a 15.7% increase in the average price of Mexico's operation in the affordable entry-level segment. As Gerardo commented, the price increase reflects our strategy to focus on the most favorable segments within the affordable entry-level sector, where we have found less competition and increasing demand, and most importantly, mortgage availability. On the other hand, our average price for the middle-income segment decreased 11.6%, from 1 million pesos to 900,000, because of our strategy to concentrate our product offering at price points suitable for co-financing programs with Infonavit and Foviste. Despite the higher revenue contribution from the affordable entry level, OMEX's gross margin for the quarter was 33.3% compared to 32.8% during the first quarter of 2010, resulting from a higher average price in homes affordable for families who earn between 2 and 11 times the minimum wage, as well as from efficiency derived from the increased use of our aluminum mold technology. Today, 70% of our homes under construction are being built with this construction method, including our vertical prototypes of 3 to 4 stories. During the quarter, selling general and administrative expenses, or SG&A, as a percentage of total revenue was 15%, which positively compares to 17.1% as of the fourth quarter of 2010. The lower SG&A expense during the quarter already reflects the active strategies that we have taken to restructure our back office operations at each of our 4 divisions, as well as other branches, where we have found opportunities to improve efficiencies and effectiveness of our processes that will drive important savings while improving service. At the same time, as Brazil speeds up its revenue contribution, we further expect SG&A as a percentage of total revenues to continue to improve. Additionally, keep in mind that as a result of the personnel reduction, we incurred severance payments of approximately 22 million pesos that also affected SG&A expense during the quarter, but these measures were necessary to reduce our SG&A as a percentage of total sales for the full year 2011. During the first quarter of 2011, we achieved a 20.3% EBITDA margin, which is below our yearly guidance of 21 to 22% driven by a higher SG&A expense. Nonetheless, we expect to deliver our guidance for the full year of 2011 as our strategy to improve our profitability and Brazil's revenue contribution occurs to the next quarters. Net comprehensive financing cost, which excludes capitalized interest and foreign exchange fluctuations recognized in our cost of goods sold pursuant to Bulletin D6, was 111.3 million pesos during the first quarter of 2011, compared to 23.8 million during the first quarter of 2010. The higher cost of financing during the first quarter of 2011 reflects the recognition of higher interest expense, which during the same period last year were mostly recognized as capitalized interest, as well as the recognition of a foreign exchange loss of 86.6 million during the first quarter of 2011, versus a foreign exchange loss of 19.7 million during the same period of last year. Net income margin for the first quarter of 2011 was 6.3% compared to 5.2% in the same period of 2010. As you may recall, we have recognized a tax provision in relation to our expected VAT recovery which is affecting the effective tax rate in our P&L. To be clear, we do not expect to pay a cash tax rate equivalent to our effective tax rate. Instead, we estimate that our cash tax will continue to be in the range of 12% to 15% of our taxable income. Thus, the higher effective tax rate reflected in our 2010 and 2011 results is a non-cash item for the company. Turning now to the balance sheet. Total inventory on a yearly basis increased by 16 days to 728 days compared to 712 days as of March 31st, 2010. On a quarterly basis comparison, total inventory decreased 2 days when compared to the 730 days as of December 31st, 2010. The inventory decrease mainly results from a lower land inventory in line with our continued strategy to reduce our land inventory measured as future sales to 3.5 years. Our construction in process inventory on a year-over-year basis increased by 13 days. As we have shared with you since the third quarter of 2010, we started to follow a strategy to advance the investment in urbanization and infrastructure of our projects. As a result of this, our construction in process inventory has increased. During the first quarter of 2011, our construction in process inventory, when compared to the fourth quarter of 2010, increased by 1.2 billion pesos. The increase was in line with our investment projections for the year. As well, please keep in mind that the first half of the year is more working capital intensive as we lay the groundwork for the remainder of the year. Additionally, a portion of this inventory is also related to the initial works performed during the quarter in relation to our infrastructure or government division. To improve our working capital cycle, we have continued to work closely with our subcontractors who execute the urbanization and infrastructure processes of our projects to improve the working capital time. For some of our subcontractors, financial circumstances limit their capacity, and as such, we are reducing our leverage with them, reflecting our accounts payable days, excluding land, which decreased to 87 days from 89 days as of fourth quarter 2010. Even though this has a negative effect on our working capital cycle, the positive effect of advancing our construction in process faster and therefore collecting our homes more rapidly will offset the negative effect of lower days of trade with suppliers. As well, it is important to note that the higher construction in process inventory also results from a higher participation in vertical building projects of 3 to 4 stories. As Gerardo commented in his opening remarks, we do not expect a further impact from an increased participation in this type of homes prototypes. During the quarter, our capital expenditures was 45.6 million pesos from a yearly budget of approximately 450 million, which will be mainly used to revamp our concrete factories and to acquire aluminum molds for operations in Brazil. On a quarterly basis, our total debt increased by 183 million pesos. This increase was mainly driven by the additional debt incurred to advance our construction and process investments. In this respect, we should point out that we continue to actively work on liability management, aiming to improve our maturity schedule. On a sequential basis, accounts receivable decreased 4 days to 32 days from 36 days reported during the fourth quarter 2010, as a result of our receivable balance decrease from our infrastructure division. It is important to note that our building services contracts with the federal government did start at play during the first quarter of 2011. As a result of our overall working capital increase of 2 days when compared to December 31st, 2010, during the quarter we generated a negative cash flow to equity balance of 470 million pesos, which positively compares to 767 million during the same period of last year. As Gerardo and I have explained to you during the course of this call, we are taking measures to improve our profitability and stabilize our working capital cycle to deliver a neutral to positive cash flow. At the same time, we continue to expand our operations at Mexico and carefully at Brazil, as well as to advance in our contract with the government and efforts at our tourism division. I will now turn the call over to Gerardo for some final remarks.
To sum up, we are generally pleased with our performance in the first quarter and with the resiliency and flexibility of our business model, which has enabled us to adapt to market conditions and respond to the natural challenges of growth. I'm confident that on balance, we have made the right decisions, both operationally and financially, to support our objectives. We aim to continue to maintain our leadership in the Mexican home building industry to further improve our balance sheet position and profitability, and to effectively grow our operations across our four divisions. We look forward with confidence and thank you for your continued support. We will now take your questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star one to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Carlos Pirellanu.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Carlos Perlong from Merrill Lynch. Congratulations on the solid results. Two questions, if I may. First one related to your increase in net debt in the quarter. It was below 400 million pesos, the lowest by far of your peers, Urbi and Geo. It looks like you're in a path to generate positive free cash flow to equity this year. Can you comment as to whether we should expect any additional investments in work in process that could deter you from doing that, or you think that with the current trend you could generate positive free cash flow this year? The second question is related to Brazil. You mentioned that you expect revenues coming from Brazil to represent 6 to 8% of total sales. They were only 1% in the first quarter. When do you think that revenues from Brazil would account for that 6 to 8%? Should we think already in the second quarter, or is more in the second half of the year? Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Yes, effectively, we have been working diligently in towards the liability management of the company and improving, as you saw, the operations during the quarter. This trend, we believe, is sustainable, and the target of the company is to continue to improve the operations and deleverage the company in order to get to our goal to be free cash flow neutral to positive for the year end. That's our stand, and that's what we are working with.
Hi, Carlos. Good morning. For your question on Brazil, as you said, during this quarter, Brazil represented only 1% of our revenues. We have seen a lot of progress on the permitting processes and on the collection process with the Caixa Econômica Federal. We have had meetings with the president in the last month, with the new appointed president, with Mr. Jorge Hereda, in the last month. And we have seen very good results in terms of the new processes that they are implementing for collections. And we believe that for the second half of this year, Brazil will represent that 6 to 8%, and on the full year will be in that range too. We have seen, as I said before, a lot of improvements on our construction side and on the collection side from Caixa. That's why we feel confident that for the full year, the revenues from Brazil will be in the range of 6 to 8%.
Great. Thank you, Gerardo and Carlos.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Vanessa Quiroga.
Thank you. Hi. I have a question regarding working capital. In your latest press release, the current one for the first quarter results, total working capital cycle is shown as 655 days for the fourth quarter of last year. But when we go back to the press release of the fourth quarter results of 2010, total working capital cycle for the same period is shown as 627 days. So I was wondering if you can explain why the working capital cycle changed for the same period.
Hello, Vanessa. Yes, the working capital cycle that is posted on the first quarter 2011 results is calculated over the audited results that were presented to the CNBV and published today. Those results were approved by our shareholders meeting last Friday, and process from Monday through Tuesday. So they're already available for you to the CNBV and the Bolsa channels. That's the main reason why it doesn't match between the first quarter 2010 published and what you fourth quarter 2010 published and what you have in the release.
Okay. So is my understanding correct that then the working capital cycle at the end of last year was actually higher than what you presented at the end of last year? And then if that is the case, did that help you invest less at the beginning of this year? I just want to understand how your cash flow ended in 2010 then?
The nature of the changes on the audited financials that were in our adjustment minor in terms of net numbers were basically because of the application of the NIF 14 in previous periods. This is the starting point of 2009. For example, one of the main changes in the inventory is related to the change in the inventory was close to 550 million pesos, and basically 350 million pesos came from the changes in the NIF 14. Other big changes came from the deferred income tax, which also have an effect from the NIF 14 application in 2009. Also have the deferred income tax also have effects from the swap positions that we missed to calculate some of the deferred taxes coming from the hedge accounting advantages that we have in the 2019 set of PO and IO swaps. Another example is we made adjustments in payables, mainly from the NIF 14, 400 million pesos, etc. So the changes are more related to the adjustments are more related to the NIF 14 application in previous periods. We have some reclassifications that our auditor recommended to us to apply, and that's the main nature of the changes. However, if you see at the end of each of the statements, the net income was just marginally changed in the seven. For example, net income margin just changed from 7.8% to 7.7%, and in the balance sheet, our shareholder equity was affected net by 24 million pesos. So that this is less than 0.1% of an adjustment. So that's the nature of the changes of the adjustments in the 2010 audited financials that you will find.
Okay. So in 2011, these adjustments are already implemented, let's say, in the numbers that you are presenting. We shouldn't expect further adjustments at the end of the current year. Is that correct?
That is correct. And to round up the idea, the changes were not as significant as to modify our cash positions. No?
Okay. That's great. And my second question is regarding the building services contract business. What is the reason for which you did not recognize revenues from this activity in the first quarter, just to understand the dynamics better and what's your outlook for this business during the year?
Thank you, Vanessa. The reason why we don't account revenues from this contract is because they were signed at the end of the first quarter and the beginning of the second quarter, and at the same time we feel comfortable that for the full year we will be able to recover that delay on signing the contracts, and at the end of the year infrastructure will account for around 4% of our revenues. It's just what's an issue with signing the contracts, but the contracts are already signed. The problem is solved, and that's why we feel comfortable that infrastructure will account for 4% of our revenues for the full year.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Adrian Huerta.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I have basically two questions. One, if I just go back a bit to Vanessa's question, if I look at the reconciliation of what you reported as a change in working capital in the quarter versus the number using the reported figures in 4Q, it seems that the change in working capital is somewhere around 900 million pesos. I mean, I'm sure this doesn't change the cash flow for 2010, but what I wonder is if there was a change as well on the revenues recognized for 2010, if the number and revenues was much lower given higher working capital than what it was reported in 4Q. And then the second question is if you're planning at any point this year to start expanding again geographically in Mexico, and if not, where are the markets where you are growing much stronger this year? Many thanks.
Hi, Adrian. Now, the effect in results net-net after the adjustments and reclassifications we had is about 37 million pesos. So the P&L affection is more in the integral financing cost. The adjustments is more in the integral financing cost, etc. It's not materially different, the P&L, from the one you saw published back in February.
And in terms of our growth strategy for Mexico, Adrian, today we are not planning to open new branches. We are analyzing the opportunity or the possibility of closing one small branch only. But we are planning to be concentrated in the same markets. As you can see in the Infonavit numbers, we have gained market share from Infonavit, 50 basis points compared with the first quarter of 2010, and 90 basis points compared with the fourth quarter of 2010. We will continue increasing our market share in the actual branches. We think that we have made the adequate investments in the past to have a strong presence. Today we are serving at around 80% of Mexico's population, and we will continue to increase the market share in the actual branches for the near future.
Excellent. Thank you. So just to clarify, Carlos, so there wasn't any change on the revenues recognized in 2010 versus the audited numbers?
It was 37 million pesos impact.
On revenues?
Yes.
And why then the difference in inventories is somewhere around like 350 million?
Yes, the difference is in the inventory came in the range of 352 million that coming from the NIF 14 application since the initial balance of 2009, and also in 2010 we have an impact of 200 million pesos of a piece of land that we have in Morelos that were already recognized in the balance sheet that we pull it back. So now it went back to payables, and that's why the payables is also reduced by 180 million pesos. Basically, those are the changes in the inventory, no?
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Dice Aluia.
Hi, good morning. Congratulations on the results. First question would be, what are you thinking in terms of liability management with the bonds, the 15s callable now? What are you thinking in terms of calling those bonds and in the future? And then I just want to confirm, second question, confirm that the restatements were made to the end of year 2010 numbers. Thank you.
Hi, thank you, Teresa. Yes, the efforts that we're doing in liability management have effectively to do with the 2015 bond. As you know, the 2015 bond is already callable. The 5-year of non-call option is expired, so we can call it currently at 103.75. It seems like the market is still in a positive trend, and the macroeconomic conditions of the country and the U.S. helped a lot to have a positive outlook of what the market should be for the remainder of the year. After September, the call option will go down to 102.50. So currently we are evaluating what our possibilities are. Definitely the market is attractive, and we will, we and our board of directors will decide whether we should do something with the 2015 bond in the course of this year or not. We have followed other efforts regarding our short-term debt to have it in a longer profile throughout the coming months. So that's what we're doing today. As soon as we get an approval or a decision made towards the 2015 bond, we will let you and the rest of the market know about it.
Thank you. And the other question was the restatements that you made were to the year-end 2010 numbers?
That is correct. The restatements were to between the unaudited and preliminary numbers posted in February for the 2010 period and the audited financial statements that we posted yesterday.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
sir. Your next question comes from the line of Roy Yakulik.
Yes, thank you. With respect to, you know, leverage has ticked up successively in the last few quarters, and it's uncertain as to whether or not the increases in working capital, the change to more of a multi-story project development will keep it at those levels or not. Do you have targets for the end of the year with an intent to reduce leverage to certain levels to control this working capital increase or not?
Hello, Roy. Yes, we do. We do have targets for the end of the year. Those targets are not public, but definitely the intention of the company is to deleverage the company, particularly in the second half of the year, where we believe our cash flow generation will be more than sufficient to help us to do that. In all leverage ratios, no? Because also we're expecting our EBITDA to pick up. We're not expecting the debt to, in absolute numbers, to grow up. On the contrary, to decrease. So we are confident that with the current initiatives and operative measures that we have taken, we'll be able to get to our own internal targets.
So is that strictly from debt pay down, reduction in debt, and how much might you reduce debt by, or is it also going to become from reducing working capital needs and therefore reducing debt that way?
It's actually that way. We are working, operatively speaking, to improve our working capital cycle, mm-hmm. and that will help us to improve the leverage profile of the company. You know?
Okay. And can I just ask another question? With respect to the development that's going on in terms of, I guess, the life cycle that it takes to develop something to completion in terms of weeks or months, how long does that take for, you know, single standalone homes and then townhomes that are adjoining and then the multi-story? So what is the difference in that working capital or that development cycle in terms of weeks or months?
Hi, Roy. The difference in the construction time for a single home, just the home, maybe it's in the range of 4 to 6 weeks on average. The issue with the multi-story buildings is that we need to complete the 6 or 8 apartments to be able to collect the first one.
Sure. Yeah.
That's the negative impact. What we are foreseeing for this year is that that impact has already take place in mostly in 2010, and the other negative impact on the cash flow on the working capital cycle, that is the earlier investment in infrastructure. I think that it's already in place too. That's why we foresee that for this year we will be able to reduce the working capital. We are maintaining or even trying to reduce the number of active projects nationwide and to reduce the number of homes under construction on every project. to be able to reduce the working capital, and to reduce the debt.
So for a multi-story, how long does that take to develop? If a single home is 4 to 6 weeks, how long is the multi-story?
It takes around 12 weeks because we are working at all the six or eight apartments at the same time, but maybe the overall time will be at least 12 weeks.
So your intent, when you tell me that you intend to reduce the number of projects and to reduce the number of homes under construction at each time, is to somehow speed this construction cycle up, correct?
Yes, the idea is as we increase the number of projects under construction, active projects under construction, we need to invest more money in absolute terms. The company needs to invest more money nationwide on different infrastructure sub-projects. And reducing the number of active projects, we are able to reduce the overall investment in infrastructure. And if we reduce the number or we contain the number of homes under construction at every specific project, we are reducing the inventory requirements of materials and the work in progress in general for the company.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Russ.
Your next question comes from the line of Ivan Verona. Ivan, your line is open. That question has been withdrawn. Your next question comes from the line of Pablo Lehman.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for the call. Just want to get something clear. Once again, deferred taxes continue to increase, now standing above 5 billion pesos, roughly 6. My guess is that as growth within the sector slows down and you reduce land inventories, you will have to start paying higher cash taxes. Can you give us color on when you will start paying these deferred taxes and how it will impact your cash flows?
I'm sorry. Thank you, Pablo. Well, in theory, you are totally correct. No, the deferred tax concept is exactly to do that. Once the sector came to a point where it's completely mature and first entries and all markets are attended, then companies should start paying down those deferred lines. We don't foresee to get into that cycle anytime soon. Right now, the company we're expecting the company to continue to pay cash taxes in the range of 12 to 15%, as we have done in the past couple of periods since the application of the YETU. For the coming future or for the coming years, we don't foresee any major change in that trend for the company.
So cash taxes should stand close to those levels for at least a couple of years?
Yes, that is correct.
And if I may follow up, I have a question regarding the equity. You have a couple of questions. You have a 1.1 billion increase in your equity quarter on quarter. Can you explain me why the reason of that increase of your net income was close to 260 million. And the second question is, what's the impact you are expecting in the equity reduction once you adopt IFRS? I assume that most of the impact has already been taken when you took the INIF 14, but I believe there's could have still another negative impact, right?
Hello, yes, Pablo. The impact in the shareholders' equity was in the range of 756 million pesos. That's more related, not the impact, the difference. It's more related to the differences in the inventory, the deferred tax, the shareholders' equity lines, including minority interest, etc. So it's a composition of various items or various issues. In terms of the IFRS, as you point out, most of the IFRS big items are incorporated already into the INIF 14, into the changes that we're expecting from the application of IFRS are some minor changes in the fixed asset valuation, for example, in labor measurements and profit sharing adjustments, etc., deferred profit sharing adjustments. But we are not expecting to have any major impact or any major change in the way we are accounting things today from the IFRS application of 2012.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Pablo.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from the line of Gordon Lee.
Hi, good morning. Just two quick questions on Brazil. The first was just to confirm that the revenue recognition in Brazil is on a titling basis in line with Mexico, as opposed to percentage of completion, which is the norm there. And then the second question is just, what would you expect land investments in Brazil to be this year, and will you be expanding beyond what you're where you're currently operating? Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon. The revenue recognition in Brazil is based on collections. In that sense, we are not comparable with the local home builders. This is an auditor's requirement, and we understand that we are booking revenues later than our local comparables. That's in terms of revenues. In terms of land investment for the year, we have an approved budget from the board of 700 million pesos to invest in land in Brazil. Today we have land in 6 cities. For the budget of 2011, we are considering operating only 3 of these 6 cities. And we are finding many opportunities outside of the metropolitan area of Sao Paulo to replicate our business model in Brazil. That's why we feel comfortable that the target for the year will be achieved.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you, Gordon.
Your next question comes from the line of Armando Peric.
Good morning, everyone. Just to follow up, your guidance for free cash flow to the equity in 2011 will be slightly negative, and for 2012 it will be positive. And my second question is regarding collections in Brazil. Are these slower than in Mexico? And are these accelerating during the year? Thanks.
Thank you, Armando. The guidance of the company for 2011 is to get to neutral to positive free cash flow this year. And we will publish our 2012 guidance late this year as usual.
For collections in Brazil, Armando, the collection process today is taking longer in Brazil compared with Mexico. And the most important provider of mortgages for us is the Caixa Econômica Federal, and they are working on outsourcing part of the collection process with correspondientes bancarios, and they are doing it with small companies, and they start a new program with the home builders acting as correspondientes bancarios that will speed up the collection process, and we will not have the bottlenecks on the data capturing capacity from the Caixa branches all over Brazil. And then today, the collection is taking a longer time in Brazil, but they are working big steps. They are working to speed up the process and to have an efficient process, not only with Caixa, but with the public registry or Cartorio to speed up the process too. We feel very optimistic on the progress that they have made in the last months.
Thanks. And just one more question. So basically, with the strong growth you're having in Brazil, your free cash flow generation should come on the back of reduction in inventories and an increment in suppliers, or we should see receivables lower during the year.
Armando, the free cash flow should come mainly from the reduction of the inventory lines, both in construction progress and land. As you know, we have the strategies for both. The strategies for work in progress, Gerardo has already mentioned to you, our strategy in land is to consume more land than what we replenished. Also, in terms of the payables, we should expect to have payables in line with what we are seeing today, a little bit better. And the receivables should be stable because the receivables are more, today in the company, receivables are more a function of our government division than our housing business. So those are the changes that we're expecting in the working capital to happen. That will let us to have neutral cash flow for the year.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of David Andrews.
Morning. Question on cash flow. The inventory line for the first quarter 2011, $1.2 billion use of cash. How much of that is comprised of land?
Hello, David. Out of the inventory line, give me a second, that changed in the during the quarter. Most of it was work in progress. We didn't book actually any acquisition of land for the quarter.
And how does that compare to the 2010 first quarter?
It is really not related because the acquisitions of land are basically made throughout the year and are not necessarily totally programmed between quarters. We have an approved budget to acquire 1 billion pesos in land in Mexico for 2011 that we definitely expect to execute. We don't. We have the land already identified, and we expect to have all the execution of the budget by the end of the year. But it does not necessarily have to match quarter by quarter.
Right. So how much did you spend in 2010 relative to this $1 billion you plan to spend this year?
In 2010, we spent about 1.2 billion pesos in total land acquisitions in Mexico.
Okay.
In the full year, no?
Right. So it's only a 200 million decrease in land purchases.
Yes, we're coming from previous years. Remember back in 2007 and a portion of 2008 where we were expending or investing around 3.5 billion pesos in land acquisitions per year. After we decided that we wanted to get back to a more normalized level of 3.5 years of future sales of land, we only have a replenished only status of acquisitions of land. These are acquisitions in cities where we have less than 2 years or 2.5 years in future sales of land, and that's why we are investing that much. And by doing that, the land that we are consuming is higher in terms of pesos amount than the land that we are replenishing. So in this particular period, the land inventory went down from 12.2 billion pesos to 12 billion pesos, while the work in progress went up from 14.9 billion pesos to 16 billion pesos. So that's the trend we're seeing in land. We will continue to replenish land only in the cities where we have to, and therefore we expect the land inventory to be reduced to the levels that we are aiming. No?
And how much do you anticipate the vertical construction requirements is going to increase in terms of your working capital for this year?
Proportionally speaking, the number, the percentage of houses that we have under construction of vertical won't change. So I think the big impacts in the application of this type of prototypes are already incorporated into the company and we will expect it to be a fairly stable number throughout the year. So we don't expect much more of an impact in our work in progress inventory for the remainder of the year coming from the vertical construction.
So that would imply that all else equal, if you spend 200 million less pesos a year on land, that should be generating at least that much amount of positive free cash flow this year?
That is correct.
Okay, and then second question I had was your price increases, your mix increase. How are you able to accomplish that? It seems that there are a number of other competitors out there, and so how are you able to get such better pricing compared to others? Is it you're in areas that they're not active in, or you know, what is it that you're doing differently?
Yes, David, we start this strategy on the middle of 2009 when we recognized that the small home builders were going out of the business because the lack of credit financing for them, and they were leaving great market niches on the top range of the affordable entry level. That's why we started this is our seventh quarter where we have increased our average price. That's in affordable entry level. We believe that that's a better usage of our assets. We are selling more expensive homes in our land. And we improve the middle income product offering. In the past, we have homes in the range of 800,000 pesos up to 3 million pesos, and now our average price on middle income has been reduced to 900,000 pesos. We believe that we have a better product on middle income and a better product on affordable because we are addressing a niche that was left by the small home builders that are going out of the business.
Okay, and you just haven't seen your competitors following you in that same strategy?
I think that now they are following us. 2 years later, they are recognizing the importance of this strategy. And for sure, we have more strategies to be ahead of them.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
Your next question comes from the line of Ivan Verona.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Just a quick follow-up regarding the restatement of your 2010 numbers. I can see that the main difference in the balance sheet is regarding the equity, and it would take a match on the other under the other assets line. Would you mind giving a little color regarding the changes in the other assets? It's like an increase of around 700 million pesos.
Thank you, Ivan. I think, first of all, we need to make the clarification that these are not restatements, no? These are just adjustments from unaudited and preliminary financial results to an audited result, and not a restatement. So the changes that you mentioned are across the board. I mean, if we should take a look at every line of the assets and liabilities and shareholders' equity to get to your point, and we can do that in a separate call if you want to. And I think the bottom line and the main message is that at the end of all the reclassifications and adjustments that we made, we have a minor effect in the bottom line of both of the main financial statements. In the case of the balance sheet, as I mentioned, we have an impact of or a difference of 24 million pesos between the shareholders' equity published in February and the shareholders' equity audited published this past weekend. And in the case of the balance sheet, the same case. We have a marginal impact in the net margin. Across the board, obviously, there's a bunch of classifications or reclassifications that were recommended from the external auditor to us, and we decided to follow. As I mentioned, we have three main adjustments of nature. One is related to the NIF 14 application in previous periods. As you know, particularly in the balance sheet, we needed to recalculate the NIF 14 in 2009. That was not, as you remember, was not subject to that Mexican financial reporting standard back in those days, and that created differences in the starting points of our balances. Basically, that's one of the main differences. The other differences has to do with the minor effects, for example, coming from the hedge accounting classification of our PO swap in the 2019 bond. The classification as a non-hedge accounting of the interest-only swap in both bonds, etc., has impacts on the deferred income tax, etc. And the one that I mentioned on the payables, that is a piece of land of 200 million pesos that we pulled back, and then payables went down, and the inventory went up. Other than that, the rest of the reclassifications are from within the auditor recommendation and has, as I mentioned, little or no impact in the results of the company. No?
All right. Well, that was pretty much all of my questions.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the conference back to management for any closing remarks.
Thank you very much for your time today. A replay of the call will be available in our webpage immediately, and also for follow-up questions, we will be available in the usual numbers. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.